everyone. Thank you so much for signing up for Premium. This is one of the little treats that we give you for free. So this is our very first podcast. My name is Caroline Faulkner and I am the founder of All You See. I have lots of stuff in the sixth house, which is why I obsessively spent 3 months perfecting the waxing and waning moon on the logo. Anyway, we are in the studio today with the musician extraordinaire, Mr. Pisces, Aries Moon, Leo Rising, Nutty P.
What you got to bait me up for? No, I'm joking. What's going on? Thanks for having me.
And also, Miss Deanna Dugdugmanovic. We've got a commander in the studio here. So she's
three.
Three actual commanders. Have you ever done that personality type test? Anyway, we've only got an hour, but don't you worry, people. We're not going to keep talking for an hour. Anyway, so I wanted to introduce you to the BS-free A to Z guide to spirituality. Here we go. A of is for astrology. So I just wanted to ask D, what would you say is the what would you say is your interpretation of astrology, and how has it changed your life?
Okay, so my interpretation of astrology is it maps out the energies that were around at the point of your birth, so where all the planets were. And how they influenced basically you as you came into this world. So that's kind of the first part. So that's called the natal chart. And then the second part is how those planets move around as they do as you live your life. They influence you in different ways at different point in time. So for example, today I'm somewhat moody and I looked at my moon app and I saw that the moon is in Taurus, which sits right opposite my natal moon in Scorpio, which I'm guessing you can tell me more about this then.
She's been a little bit moody. I even tried to do some yoga this morning with her. I did some real good hip openers and heart openers, but you know what? Anyway, this is Miss D. She's defecting soon and moving to the States. Boom. Anyway,
the point of the matter is it's like you can use it however it affects you. You can kind of see what's going on astrologically and you can kind of work with it.
Yeah, you can manage things.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, can you manage your mood a bit better then?
I'm trying my very best.
Do you mind? So what's great about Nutty P is that when we got here this morning, Nutty P actually said, I'm Pisces with Aries Moon. I don't really like my Aries Moon very much and my Leo Rising. Well, tell us about that.
You just put me on the spot. All right, you know what, yeah? It's like I didn't actually know all of this until maybe like 10 years ago or something like that. But then when I'd realised it was like a puzzle piece falling into place, I was like, oh, so that's maybe the why I'm so impulsive and can be a bit like, yeah, I just have these sort of, these highs and lows and that. And then like with the Leo Rising thing, I was like, I guess I can be quite prideful. I know it's in me, you know, but I guess it brought it to the light more.
It's good, isn't it? I think it helps her to, as long as it's not fixed. Anyway, so A is for astrology. So if you're a premium user, you would have already signed up and you'd be sort of mapping out charts. So B in our guide is for balance. I really believe I've found the key. Now, I've been on this spiritual journey for such a long time. I've had the most amazing teachers. But I think for me, the way that I actually balance my life is yoga, meditation, and a higher vision. And so for me, I'm absolutely obsessed with yoga. I did my teacher training in Vinyasa Flow. It was 3.5 weeks, 200 hours. It was really intense at Cerulea in Spain. And I literally looked to book my flight home 3 times. It was that hard. But now I can practice every day in my living room. And Deanna came and did yoga with me this morning. So how was it for you, Dee?
It was great. I loved it. It was somewhat difficult, some of the positions, but I am just starting out. But some of the positions were just like instant release, like tenseness in certain areas of my body.
Yeah, because yoga was it was developed about 3,000 years ago for young guys who were just about to sit and meditate for hours. And the thing is that if you know, all these, you sort of, you know, yoga gurus, that's with inverted commas, all over sort of Instagram and social media that are getting into all these poses. It's not about that, actually. It's actually about managing your energy and also releasing things. You've got hip openers, you've got heart openers, because all of us live in the sagittal plane. We're all bent over our laptops, bent over our phones, driving. And so we're closing off our hearts. So we need to open up our hearts. cuts into, you know, the sort of, you know, the different flow of things. So for me, I studied yoga so that I can do it in my living room. And then, of course, meditation. I couldn't live without meditation in my life. It's actually changed everything for me in such an amazing way. I've studied with teachers from all over the world. But for me, the game changer was the Vipassana. The Vipassana was a 10-day silent meditation retreat. No phones. I don't know if you caught that, but no phones. No phones, like nothing for 10 days. So yeah, meditation and also a higher vision. Having a higher vision is really important for me, like believing that, you know, there is a sort of enlightened energy that we can all tune into, and also surrounding yourself with good people. From my perspective on spirituality, it's about simply my definition of spirituality is someone that never, ever fucks anybody else over. What do you think about that?
Yeah, man. Yeah, exactly. Don't be a basically.
Next one. So, yeah, let's talk about C. It's for compassion.
Gosh. Yeah, you got to be compassionate.
Definitely.
But that's what I like about D. It's like she's a commander, but also has tons and tons of Scorpio and Capricorn in her chart and Sagittarius. And, you know, they shoot you in the eye with the arrow of truth at the moment of most inconvenience.
What was the thing that you said in your first talk that changed my life about Sagittarius?
Check your motivation.
And it's not okay to?
It's not okay to hurt someone in the name of truth.
Damn. Ooh. Dropping them gems on you.
Because, yeah. but for me, one of my teachers actually changed my life with one sentence. So I said, oh, do you think I ought to do this? And shall I say this? And shall I do that? And he just looked at me and said, in life, whatever you do, say, or think, check your motivation.
Mm.
If your motivation is sincere and good, continue.
Yeah. No, that's the thing, though. Like, in the music industry, it can be difficult. Like, even for me, I'm like, sometimes I'm like, rah, is man hating? Or am I actually saying this because I'm trying to move the scene in a positive direction. Like, it's difficult. And, like, sometimes I've got to check myself, like, rah, am I saying it because I'm, like, secretly jealous or something? Or do I genuinely think that this is shit? Do you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, this is what you got to do to be better, bruv. Do you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's true. You got to check your motivation, man.
And you got to certainly got to be compassionate. It's very hard at times.
Yeah, because compassion is really different to pity. Because compassion is actually putting yourself on the same level and being like, you know what? You know, but also the most important thing is that doing exactly what you say, which is putting a pause button on before you and questioning, why am I doing this? Yeah. Am I trying to make more money? Am I trying to put myself in the spotlight? Mm-hmm. Am I trying to disempower them? Am I jealous? Yeah. You know what I mean?
And I guess the flip side of compassion is sometimes it's like you're scared that someone's thinking that about you, like they're trying to use you.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, if I help this person, is it like... When something like compassion, you're not even supposed to think about the reason, innit?
No,
really.
It's no. But you also have to have compassion for yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to have compassion for yourself, like, first and foremost, but also have... Because most of the time, when people are behaving badly, unless I've drunk too much coffee and I haven't done any meditation, I try and look at why they're behaving like that. Because a lot of the time, it's out of fear.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's like they're trampling all over you because they're frightened.
Yeah,
so anyway, having compassion doesn't mean to say that people can trample all over you.
Yeah.
You can still have compassion from a distance.
Can't let them mug it off though, you know?
Okay, so D is for Dharma. Now, what I find really interesting is I've been studying Spanish for quite a few years. I have a second family over in Mexico, and Dharma is, in Spanish, the positive version of karma. So karma is negative in Spanish, and well, you know, Latin Spanish, and Dharma is positive. And Dharma is actually the teachings of the Buddha. So the teachings of the Buddha is basically the same as, you know, Jesus Christ and everything else, which is, you know, try to put yourself in other people's positions before you judge them and treat everyone the way that you would treat them. But for me, when I started studying, I mean, I was raised sort of, you know, going to, you know, church with my grandmother. I also went to Roman Catholic boarding school and was educated by nuns, which says a lot. apparently were the worst. but for me, I didn't like the fact that they didn't mention reincarnation. I didn't like the fact that it was this, you know, I used to argue with the nuns all the time and say, you know what, that's not my version of God, you know, looking down on me and striking me down with thunder when I do things wrong.
Yeah.
So for me, I really like the Dharma, and I really love Buddhism, I'm not converting anyone. Listen, do your own thing. But what I'm saying is, it's good to have knowledge of all these different religions. They all lead to the same place, but the Dharma is the pure teaching. And I just think it's absolutely incredible. It's, you know, the so the Four Noble Truths, it's, you know, this is not sort of a perfect rendition of it, but it says that life is suffering. Suffering is caused by greed and grasping, and suffering ends when we stop being greedy. Basically,
I don't really like that, to be honest with you. I don't like life is suffering.
But the truth, but
it is, bro.
But it is if you choose it.
But it's about progression of the soul, you know, or the mind. Because if it, in Buddhism, they don't believe in a soul. They believe that that there's a mind and that there's, you know, universal consciousness, which is the mind. So the first one is the truth of suffering. The second one is the truth, the cause of suffering, which is grasping. That's why when you meditate, you learn not to avert pain and not to grasp onto pleasure. You just learn to be equanimity, which is basically staying centered and watching the sensations. And then the next one is the end of suffering, which is basically enlightenment. Mm-hmm. So it's like the more you meditate, the more you work on the progression of the soul, you end suffering by reaching enlightenment. The truth of the path, the Dharma path, frees us from suffering. But who knows?
Yeah, I need to research that one a bit more.
Well, you know, I need to practice more.
We all can do better.
Exactly.
We can all do better.
So E is for enlightenment. Yay. Now, I think that enlightenment is definitely the way, but I'm not sure, you know, I know that they conducted all these studies in this university. I think it was in California, but where basically they gave everyone LSD so that they could...
feelings was coming.
So that they could basically look into, you know, how people were when they reached a state of enlightenment. And I think the thing is that I've seen so many spiritual teachers. I worked on a TV channel for years. I've had so many people tell me that they're enlightened, yet the only people I have met who were actually enlightened would never say they were.
Yeah, exactly.
It's about so a real teacher has humility, so that's us out. has humility, but also practices from an unbroken lineage. If you come across a guru or a teacher that says they're enlightened, you need to run.
Yeah, for real. Mm. And I think I always think with the LSD thing, it's like you can't, I mean, if you've got to take a drug or something to get there, it doesn't count.
Exactly.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's not sustainable. It shoots you up, but then it shoots you right back
down. Yeah, how are you going to be enlightened and you can't even make a cheese sandwich? Do you know what I'm saying? That doesn't make no sense.
Well, if you're enlightened, you don't need to eat.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, bro, them ones there. Transcend food. Yeah. But like, I think enlightenment, it's like steps in it. You've got to work your way up. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Or...
There is no cheating in that. You can't go from
here because you're just cheating yourself. And also, it's like, you know, I think the more attached you are, then the more suffering
to get you there.
Yeah, but the more attached you are to anything. So the more, when you see people that, I just want to be enlightened, I just want to be, again, they're grasping.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm trying to say? You just have to sit with your practice. Practice makes perfect.
Yeah.
Practice is anything that helps you, with the whole big B, which is the balance of life. Ah, oh, this is a big one.
Forgiveness.
F is for forgiveness. There's going to be so many
Yeah, for real.
Oh, dear. Who wants to kick off forgiveness?
I think you should.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus, forgive her.
Forgiveness is tough. Yeah. I would say forgiveness is a tough one.
Especially
because
if you've got loads of Scorpio in your chart.
Oh, because you do hold on. I mean, the thing is, it's like, I think the only way that you can really tackle forgiveness is by really understanding compassion.
Yeah.
Because you have to be able to come out of the situation and look at it from a wider perspective and try to understand what brought the person that brought you any discomfort or pain to the place where they would... do that.
That definitely helps me, man. I always think of it like that saying, you know, like holding on to a grudge is like drinking poison and expecting them to die.
Yes, exactly.
You know because it's only you that suffers. No, they're not suffering because you haven't forgiven them.
Yeah,
they're living life.
But also, there's the thing is that with, you know, the when Nelson Mandela was released from prison and they said to him, you must really, you know, be angry with the people that put you there. And he just turned around and said, absolutely not, because if I was, I'd still be there. And so for me, that is, and I think you had something to say about forgiveness, didn't you?
Yeah, I was wondering what the best way to forgive is, because it's really difficult.
Okay, so the first things first is you have to have compassion. And the other thing is that just try your best to release everything. But I really believe in working with full moon energy. And you can basically, because the full moon helps you to release stuff. So whoever's harmed you and whoever's hurt you is, anyone seen that program, My Name is Earl? And he goes through all the karma and lists them all off of the people that he's screwed over in his life. The thing is that you've got to try where you can not to be angry anymore. So you've got to write it all down and under the full moon, release it and just send them love.
Yeah.
Because the thing is that you're going through this karmic dance, and this situation will continue to affect you throughout the whole of your life until you forgive them.
You know, I think it's tricky if you're not happy in your life, because I know the 100%. Times when I've been unhappy in my life, I've held on to the grudges that, if it weren't for this person, I'd be here by now, and if it weren't for this person that did this to me, I'd be further. But then it's like, it sounds cliche, but when I started living my best life or whatever, then I didn't care about that.
Exactly.
I was like, no, I hope this person's doing good, because I'm doing good, and I want them to do good as well. Mm. But it was like a natural occurrence in my life. It wasn't something I forced.
I think that's the key. It's like your own happiness. And the other thing is that it's the whole blame culture. Because when I work with a lot of people, and if they're working with the blame culture, I'm like, I can't work with you. Because I work from a level of, you know, look, each person has their own karma. And karma is not as black and white. We'll talk about that in a minute, but it's almost like you have to forgive people, because the karma of a relationship, good or bad, is never over until the only thing remaining that is love. So that's the long and short of it, really. So G is for guru. What's your definition of a guru?
I don't really know. Someone who's very wise, someone that's knowledgeable and
practices what they preach.
Yeah. Someone who's
spoken like a true Sagittarian.
Practices what you preach. I think it's just someone that's like, that understands life on a esoteric level and is able to translate that to a bloody 3-year-old or something.
I think that's a good definition. I also think that if someone, I mean, I for whatever reason have come across the most incredible teachers. Unfortunately, a couple of them are not with us anymore, but I mean, they would never say that they were a guru, but they were definitely my guru. And here in the West, when we leave school, college or university, it's like our egos are so huge. We don't want to say that we've got a guru, or we don't want to say that we've got a teacher, because we think we know everything. Well, guys, we don't know everything, and we can be our own gurus. But beware of those that say they are gurus.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I also think that they've got that clarity of mind. And it's just like you say, it's like if they can't explain something to a 3-year-old, they don't understand it themselves.
Yeah, definitely.
H is for happiness.
All right.
Can you believe that happiness is now big business?
Mm.
It's actually a big business. I mean, they've actually managed to monetize it. I wanted to talk about this because
this is capitalism at its finest, ladies and gentlemen.
This is great. At least they capitalize on happiness and not on hate.
Yeah,
this is true. I don't know. Some people are still capitalizing on the big old age.
There's plenty of that, bruv. Like, war is one of the biggest businesses on the planet, you know?
Yeah, that song just came into my mind. War.
Yeah.
What is it good
exactly.
for?
Mm.
Absolutely nothing.
However, happiness.
So happiness, I think the thing that I really love is that the king of Bhutan a couple of years ago, instead of measuring the economy by the GDP, which is obviously, you know, monetary, you know, the economy, he measures it by the gross national happiness.
Sick.
He measures his economy by the gross national happiness. And it actually makes sense, because if you think about it, how many people are off sick? How many people take days off sick because they're depressed?
I think I saw that chart, actually. Wasn't it like Norway was at the top or something? Something like that. America and England, like, next to each other, like at the middle bottom or something like that.
I think
that.
We're down the bottom as well. We're pretty much... Because do you know why? Because the Dalai Lama says... I'm not going to quote the Dalai Lama or even pretend to try, but something along the lines of... he said that in the East, they are sometimes seen as... materially poor, but in the West we are actually very spiritually poor.
Oh, for sure.
So this is impacting our happiness. Mm. So it's almost like you know, I think that we should measure our economy by our sort of gross national happiness also, because it would put less strain on the hospitals. People would take off, you know, less time sick. I mean, half the nation is on medication for depression. Mm. What's that all about?
Yeah,
everyone needs to be doing yoga.
And, yeah, meditating.
And meditating, yeah. And basically being a community.
But well, they are trying to bring meditation into schools now.
That's true.
With toddlers and
that's stuff. That's amazing. Well, yeah. The Dalai Lama also, yeah. Well. The Dalai Lama also says that if every 7-year-old in the world is taught meditation, we would wipe out violence within that generation. And also, if, you know, we talk about Norway and happiness and stuff like that, I don't know exactly, but there's a really great thing on Netflix that's talking about, you know, who is the happiest nation. I think it's called Happy.
Okay.
And basically, they did this analysis, and it was because they live in communities. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. We've shut ourselves off because we're so frightened of being taken advantage of. So mm-hmm. it's all about building communities. So yeah. Welcome to the DA community, kids.
Indigo.
Okay, I is for indigo. What do you know about indigo?
It's a colour.
It is a colour. Do you know what it represents?
The indigo children.
Yeah.
I've heard it about, but I actually don't know nothing about it, so...
So indigo is also the colour of the third eye, which is supposed to be for insight and intuition.
Okay.
And they say that the indigos, I mean, I don't know really whether it's true or not. I just think it's interesting. So basically, the indigo is the colour for your third eye chakra. So it's really important that you pay mind to that, because that's your intuition.
Yeah.
But also it's about indigo children, which was said, I think they were born after 1969, and it was said that they were born to help elevate consciousness on the planet, and also to raise the vibration. So a lot of the time they're very rebellious, unemployable, they go their own way. Some of them are doing very, very well, but others are falling sort of prey to drink and drugs, because they see things so clearly that they want to escape from reality. Mm. So that's it.
Okay.
Don't know whether it's real or not. Jay's for Jupiter.
Oh, my ruling planet. I love Jupiter.
I think it used to be half of my ruling planet.
How's that?
I don't know. I remember seeing a book when it said that Pisces ruling planets was Jupiter and Neptune.
It's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's true. So there are a couple of signs that have two ruling planets, and I would say that Jupiter is definitely a strong ruler of...
It's that money planet, boy.
It is. It's that luck. Jupiter also is the sign of expansion, and I think that Pisces is a very expansive sign, because Pisces is actually about higher consciousness and spirituality and everything else. The gone wrong of Pisces and Neptune and Jupiter and all that is that they can sometimes go over the top and not have... Yeah, escapist behaviour, video games,
yeah,
you know, the whole thing. But I mean, a lot of the people I know, they've turned that into a really positive, and they've started working in film, or a lot of them get paid to grade games or write them. Do you see? So, but yeah, so Jupiter at the moment, I want to talk about this, is in the sign of Scorpio. It's been super intense. It's been in the sign of Scorpio, I think, since last November, and it actually moves out in October. So Scorpio energy is rife.
And goes into
Sagittarius, yeah. So the energy around at the moment, right, if people have got lots of Scorpio in their chart, it means that they're either working with it in a really great way, which is empowering people, empowering themselves, using their power as a force for good, or using Scorpio gone wrong, which is like jealousy all over the place. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So anyway, it shifts. Uh-oh. I think it's November
8th, 9th.
Oh, there we go. It moves into Sagittarius, where it stays for 13 months. So the whole energy of the whole planet, perhaps that's being a little too ambitious, is about to change and become a lot more positive. Watch out for Sagittarius, though, because gone wrong, they do...
A madness.
They will shoot you in the eye with the arrow of truth and bring down the gavel of judgment in 20 seconds flat.
Gavel of judgment,
bruv. Oh, dear.
That's jokes.
Okay. K is for karma.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I just want to say that karma is not a... It just is. So it's like, karma is about cause and effect. So whatever seeds you plant, it grows into. Mm. If you plant seeds, you know, for a lemon tree, you get a lemon tree. If you plant, you know, peachy things, you get a peachy tree. What I'm saying here is that it's really important that we don't go around judging people who, you know, have, you know, fallen on bad times, who have, you know, bad things happen to them, and say, oh, that's their karma. You know, because we just don't know. It could just be for the elevation of their soul, or part of their journey. So I would really like it if the whole world could stop being, you know, judgmental and saying that, you know, that that's their karma.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time, bad things happen to people to help them to elevate their consciousness and to progress their soul.
Sure.
It's just not necessarily because they've done bad things. Anyway, I get off my soapbox. Anything?
Yeah, but yeah, I think just like, and also sometimes people just use it as like some sort of an excuse not to take accountability.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that must be happening because of something I did in the past life. Well, what about what you did yesterday?
And what can you do today and tomorrow?
Exactly. It's just sometimes it's just
Or like using karma, like it's like the universe is your big scary brother. Like, oh, karma's gonna get you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, don't worry about that, bruv. You just do you, innit? Don't worry about what's happening with them.
Exactly. And also the thing is that when people do horrible things to other people, karma, yes, they are planting seeds for, you know, really negative karma. So actually hating them on them on top of that is really bad karma for you.
Yeah, for real.
You know, so it's like, you know, do you know what? Just when people do really bad things, have compassion, because you know that they're gonna have to walk over hot coals.
Yeah.
Mm.
And also karma is an amazing way to purify, and you can purify past karma.
Mm.
Unless you
damn.
Moving into love.
You'd have to edit that bit out, but out of nowhere.
That's Aquarius random, right? Okay, we can edit that bit out. Oh, L is for love. I really love love because I have been in a lot of tricky situations, and I can honestly say that when you go in with an open heart, if you pump enough love into a situation, you will get love back.
Yeah, it's true, man.
Mm.
You just have to be patient. And it's like, it's almost like if you are loving towards someone and they reject you or they're very negative towards you, don't give up straight away. It's like a boiled egg. Give it a little tap, then another little tap, and then another little tap.
Mm.
And basically, if you just put, you know, people can feel it, you know? And so for me, I really love love because you can feel love.
Well, I mean, I've got a commitment rating of 4 out of 10. So you guys can imagine how many times I've been in love.
Oh, man.
However, there is all sorts of different kind of love.
Exactly.
Brotherly love, sisterly love, friends love, family love.
You're incredibly loving.
I am very incredibly loving, and I love a lot of people. And that's that.
But love is not always about inter. And the other thing is that I think it's really important to give love unconditionally, because if you do something lovely for someone and expect something back, that's not unconditional love.
Yeah.
Because if you just do something that's really, you know, kind and nice, just because actually it's good, you know, it's good karma for you, but also makes you feel good.
Mm.
Yeah.
But it's like, I do have to say, when you do just give and you feel make someone else feel good, just because that's your only intent to just give through love, it's like the most beautiful feeling.
Definitely. Love's healing, isn't it?
You know
what I'm saying? Love can literally, it can come through and just make you different in a good way.
It can transform, absolutely. Love is the most powerful thing. I know it sounds like, you know, really fluffy, but love is the most powerful thing on the planet. I mean, obviously, it doesn't mean to say that, you know, sometimes you have to wear a mask in certain situations. But if your intentions are always coming from a loving place, I think it's absolutely incredible.
Mm. Yeah, man.
Meditation versus mindfulness.
All right, you're going to need to break this one down for us.
M&M.
Yeah, so basically, I wanted to just throw this one in because meditation is very different from mindfulness. And I think because mindfulness is such a big business now, I wanted to break it down. You can be mindful, you know, when you were talking earlier on and saying, you know, in certain situations, you would check why you were doing something. That's being mindful. Yeah, there are mindfulness courses. You know, you can be mindful when you're eating to stop you from overeating. You can be mindful when you're out on a Friday night drinking. I really, really need to work on that one.
Hey.
But anyway, I've got Pisces midheaven. It's not my fault.
That's always Pisces' fault.
Let me call it back. So anyway, and then basically mindfulness, you can be mindful when you're running. I hear a lot of people saying, oh, but I meditate when I'm doing this. Nope, guys, meditation is sitting, feeling your breath, feeling your sensations, training and taming the mind. It is not a doing word. It's not a verb.
Mm.
So basically, mindfulness is about being mindful in your movements, your actions, your thoughts, and your speech. You can go running and be mindful about your environment. You need to be, otherwise you're going to trip on the pavement. You need to be mindful with all the things that you do and hit pause before you react as opposed to responding. But meditation is sitting for a certain amount of time and taming and training the mind. You can use the breath. You can use whatever you want. But meditation and mindfulness are completely different things.
Mm.
Okay.
Interesting.
Very.
Ah, yeah. So N is for nihilism.
That's your one.
Yeah,
nihilism.
What's
nihilism?
I mean, what's to say? Basically, nihilism is the notion that, you know, nothing in life we do matters. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I went through a phase in my life where I was like, I was in this nihilism thing. I was like, nothing matters. You know, good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. There's no, like, life is just chaos. Do you know what I'm saying? It's just like, what is the point, basically? And it can be, I mean, it's something that was, for me, it come out of a place of despair. Do you know what I'm saying? Because it was just like, yeah, you just feel like, you know, the things you do, it has no consequence. So then, in the grand scheme of things, whereas nothing matters, you don't matter. So you walking around as a person, you don't matter. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't feel like that anymore.
Mm.
But I do think it's interesting that this is even a thing. You know, the fact that people feel like that, the fact that, this is how I feel now. I feel like out of all of the sperms and the combination of eggs, you was the one that made it, innit?
Exactly.
So maybe everything's not random. Maybe it's not chaos. Maybe there is a grand scheme. Maybe there is some big, massive cog turning in space that makes all of these things happen.
Yeah, and also it's the whole thing of precious human birth.
Yeah.
It is a precious human birth. And if we waste that opportunity, then we're wasting an amazing opportunity. But, you know, the people that I know that have existential views, I mean, it's a couple of my friends. One of my friends is a scientist, and he says, look, you know, this astrology thing, I just don't get it. But however, I won't deny the fact that actually there might be something in it. Stephen Hawking, one of the greatest minds that ever lived. I was so sad when he passed away. He's actually in my book under Capricorn Gone Right, because whenever I needed to make a big decision, you know, about who I was going to vote for, you know, what was going on with, you know, the economy, what was going on in politics, I would always check to see what he said, because I trusted him. And do you know what? He never, ever discounted the probability that there might be a God, a universal supermind.
So
as far as I'm concerned, if someone like Stephen Hawking, you know, isn't actually, you know, working from an existential nihilistic perspective, then you know what? Maybe there's something more to life.
Yeah, for sure.
Omnipresent.
I don't even know what that means. I'm sorry.
So basically, so break it down. It's the
Omni, am I being present?
Not bad. I think, so basically, omnipresence, the only experience I've had of that is basically it's like a supermind or a super being. So, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, omnipresence and, you know, I mean, I can't even say it, but I kind of know what it means because I've had the experience of working with some incredible teachers. They have the sort of ability to be in more places than just one. So it's almost like if someone gives you one of those teachings and you're, you know, going about your daily routine, all of a sudden their voices will come in the back of of your mind and you'll remember something that they said. They have the ability to cut through absolutely everything and get straight to the point. It's someone in my you know, I'm sure you can message us and let us know if you think we're wrong, but I think in my from my perspective, it's someone that has that complete clarity of mind. You know, it's wisdom. So it's wisdom and complete clarity. And
untainted wisdom.
Untainted wisdom, yeah. Nice one.
Okay.
Okay.
P is for profit.
Oof.
Profit over profit. Yeah, P-R-O-P-H-E-T over P-R-O-F-I-T.
Okay, so what's the difference between a prophet and a guru?
Okay, so a prophet, the differentiation I would sort of put forward is that, you know, a guru is something, you know, is something that you
idolize.
Yeah, and also it's like someone is a guru and, you know, can have someone who's like a guru in their field, whereas a prophet is someone who literally has, like, some people say that some music artists, like, that's like Jay-Z's nickname is prophet.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, they say that he had, whether, you know, I don't know all his lyrics, but they say that he has, like, you know, the ability to say, you know, one rhyme that is basically, you know, helping, you know, it elevates him as a prophet. So it's like a teaching, but done in a sort of
concise, clever way.
Concise and clever way, yeah. But also, it's like they have the ability to pull down wisdom you know, like inspiration and prophet. So someone who's a prophet is like, you know, and also prophesizing things.
Yeah.
You know, like, what was his name? Nostradamus.
Yeah.
Mm.
His prophecy. Yeah. So prophecy is something that will be foretold. But I don't believe anyone can predict the future.
Yeah.
I believe that the future is ours to create.
Yeah.
You can see a sort of the way that things are going.
Yeah.
And you can do something about
it.
It's
funny because sometimes I'll have dreams and there'll be like one little detail, like, my missus buying a certain shampoo, and I'm like, oh, I dreamt that. So I do believe,
yeah,
on a deeper level, people must have visions and like, oh, this, you know, if people keep going like this way, then the world's going to go this,
yeah,
way. I do believe out there must be prophets, like proper, like,
yeah,
people have prophesized things that's going to happen, innit?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Prescient. So you had a prescient dream.
Yeah.
So prophets, there are plenty of prophets out there, but beware the prophets that are out for profit.
Oh, yeah, oh, for, yeah, sure.
Q for question.
What when it comes to this spiritual arena, I've been in this arena for many, many years. I'm not going to tell you how many, but many, many years. And I don't know how, what even happened. I was like Alice in Wonderland, fell down the rabbit hole, and I'm just about seeing the light. So Q is for question. I say that I'm not into blind faith. You have to question everything.
For sure.
You know, you have to question everything. You have to research everything. I'm not talking about being like, you know, anal six planets in Virgo, you know, and
six planets in Virgo.
Oh, Lord. I was working with my developer yesterday and I looked at his chart and he's got three planets in Virgo in the sixth house. Sixth house is the house of Virgo.
Oh,
so this,
man,
is the reason why as an Aquarian, quadruple Aquarian, we're kind of, I'm coming from big picture. He just wants to know like the detail. So the point is that
that's,
it's strange, really, that's why astrology is great, because you get to know the characters that you're working with and just cut to the chase.
Yeah.
So the thing is that Q is for question. It's really important. Like in Tibet, they're taught the art of debate. And it's like, if you have a belief, you've got to back that belief up.
Mm.
If someone has a closed mind, it's not your job to open them. It's your job to actually plant a seed of doubt in their fixed opinions if it's coming from a place of ignorance.
I like that, man. I like that. Because, you know, these days, people and their views, it's like, I feel like you can't really change what people think. But if you can just give them something that makes them, you know, maybe they'll be doing the dishes and be have that thought, like, but you know what? They might have
maybe
a point there. Maybe this.
It's,
you know,
just
what I'm saying?
Plant a seed, and there's,
yeah,
no need to get really, you know, when someone, because someone says to me, oh, you know, it must be really difficult, you know, for you, you know, with all this astrology stuff. And I was like, not really, because I don't tend to, you know, I just say, well, listen, you know, you have your views, I have my,
yeah,
views. I'm very practical, actually, and the reason I love astrology so much, because I've been using it for 12 years,
yeah,
I've got an amazing client list, and actually, it works.
Yeah, exactly.
So you go home, try the book, try the system for a week. If it doesn't enhance your life in any way, please come back to me and have an opinion then.
Yeah.
But ask any questions, but not in a closed-minded way.
Mm-hmm.
So our jobs as spiritual light workers, and if you're part of this community now, you're also a light worker, is never to argue and fight with people. It's to plant enough seed for them to question their fixed beliefs.
Mm.
How's that?
Yeah,
like,
man.
That.
Jeez.
Reincarnation.
Who wants to take this one?
Gandhi.
No, go on, Pete.
I don't really have views.
You don't have a view?
Do you not?
No,
what do you think of
really.
It? What do you think? Do you believe
I
it?
Like to believe it's true, but then I feel like it devalues life, because it's like, you know, fuck this one up, I'll get another go. Do you know what I'm saying? I feel like it makes it so that when you're living your life, the prospect that you're not going to go to heaven, you're not going to get to be reincarnated, it makes it more like, I've got to live the best I can.
Agreed.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. It's like a cop-out for some people.
Yeah.
They're kind of like,
yeah,
oh, you know, it doesn't matter what I do in this life. Cause, yeah, I hear you. But from my perspective, there's I don't know, I've just experienced too many. One thing I always say is that you can't deny the reality of someone's personal experience.
Mm.
You just can't.
For sure.
And so the thing about reincarnation is that I've experienced too many things, you know, personally and with other people. For instance, there's an amazing book out there called The Dance of 17 Lives by a really amazing guy. He works for the Sunday Telegraph. He's a journalist. His name is Mick Brown. And it's actually about a teacher called His Holiness, the 17th Karmapa. And basically, it's how he orchestrated his own escape from Tibet under armed guard at the age of 14. And basically, all the people that were around, what happens is it's called a tulku. And the Dalai Lama's also a tulku. I'm not an expert. I'm just sharing the you know, really quickly, bits and pieces of what I know. And what tends to happen is before they die, they actually leave a prediction letter of where they're going to be born again.
Mad.
And the thing is that it's actually, this letter is so detailed. It gives the details of the parents, the location, the sort of atmosphere and conditions around the birth. And so what happens is because they want the lineage of teachers has to be unbroken. So it's like they pass it through. I'm not saying that it's exactly the same person. So what happens is, you know, and then so for say, for instance, you know, this teacher dies, leaves a prediction letter. The people that are sort of, you know, in his sort of circle have this prediction letter. They go and, you know, find the reincarnation. They take a bag full of stuff, right, with all the. So say for it was your stuff. They take your guitar. They take your headphones. They take your, do you know, all your stuff.
Air
you know,
forces.
Yeah. And then they would put in some, you know, some Adidas trainers as well,
yeah,
just to throw you off.
Yeah,
and they say right. They say right. The kids, yeah, usually like 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah.
Pick your stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
And so that's basically mad. That's what I'm saying. So you have to look at the book. It's really, first couple of chapters are a little difficult to get into, but read the book. It's by a really amazing journalist who wanted to see the reality of, you know, what the probabilities were of this being a reality.
Just before we move on the reincarnation thing, sometimes it's like when you meet certain people, like, you've known certain people all your life and you don't have that energy.
Yeah.
And then you meet somebody and you're just like, how does it feel like I've known you forever?
Yes, or I've known you. Sure. You get that flash of recognition.
It's just like, bam.
But it's got to be.
Yeah,
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, it's happened to me, and sometimes it's great and sometimes it's not so hot.
I would say it always starts great, but it's about how it finishes.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
also you there, but the soulmates, I mean, that's a whole other
sure.
A to Z we're going to have to do.
Yeah.
But anyway, S is for spiritual. So I said this earlier on. My interpretation of someone who's spiritual is someone who treats other people the way that they want to be treated themselves. And also, you know, this is the whole motto for my company. If anyone doesn't act in that way, I don't want them to work with me. Don't ever, ever, ever screw anybody else over, ever.
Yeah, I agree. There's just no need.
Do you know what I'm saying?
So that's all that's going to happen is you're going to end up getting screwed over. And you're just,
and round and round and round we go.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, so anyway, that's it. S is for spiritual. T is for truth. Oh, you can take
everybody spent a lot more time just talking their truths, and the truths, we would be in a much better place.
I agree.
Instead of this passiveness, connivingness,
calculating,
manipulativeness. I mean, I have a lot of that in me as well. I am, of course, four planets in Scorpio.
You can hear Jupiter in Scorpio coming out at the moment. Okay, so, but the thing is about the truth is that your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth, your truth is your truth, his truth is his truth. As long as you live with your own truth and be true to yourself, no sycophants, you know, don't blow smoke up anybody else's
and also don't try and impose your truth on someone
else.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess, you know what, the problem I feel like with truth, it's quite a broad term, isn't it? Like certain people, they're racist, bruv, do you know what I'm saying? Certain people, sexist. To them, that's truth. Like, they were brought up to think, you know, this is the superior race or sex.
But
so,
is that their truth, or is that truth being imposed upon them?
I was about to say.
Yeah, that's true, but I do feel like a lot of the things that we do consider true is imposed upon us. Like, if I was a white person that grew up outside of London, I probably wouldn't mingle with anyone that was of colour, innit? Do you know what I'm saying? Because I'm from London, and obviously, let's just say I was white, I'd probably just be, like, used to it. Do you know what I'm saying? Because that's the truth that I was growing up to. But I guess in the sense
you're saying,
like,
it's circumstantial.
I think so, yeah.
Truth
I
is circumstantial.
So. But in the sense of, like, searching for knowledge, I feel like that's what I consider truth. It's a search for knowledge and just, like, trying to see what you think is, like, this is what life's actually about. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I feel like.
I think as well, the thing about truth is that you have to, you know, sit with your own truth.
That's it.
Do you see, you've got to...
Because it's only your own truth.
And also to know what your own truth is and what you've inherited. And the thing is that when you come across people that, you know, I'm a woman and I work in I've worked many times, I've worked in very male-dominated environments. And I've always had it in the back of my mind, you know what, they would never speak to me like that if I was a man. Do you see what I'm trying to say? So it's not the same, I know, but it's like, you know, sometimes, you know, I still feel, you know, the sense of discrimination and do you know what I'm saying? But I think for me, it's like my truth is that, you know, that's okay. I just, it's very important that we open their hearts and minds, because we all know what the problems are.
Yeah, the seeds.
We know what the problems are, so we have to open their minds, open their hearts. Do you see what I'm trying to, and that is the solution.
But you have to first, we've got a partner.
Yes, exactly.
But you can't offer that without going within and finding your own truth first, because you have to be stabilized before you try and go somewhere.
You have to be stable, and also to know that, you know, you have to live with your own truth, and it doesn't, that truth cannot be bought. It cannot be bought, and it cannot be sold. You know, and it's almost like sometimes, you know, you're around those people that are talking to you at a party for as long as they can until someone more important comes in the room. You know, they're not living with their truth. they're living with a superficial truth.
Yeah, definitely.
Universal law.
So universal law. So what does that mean to you?
I would say laws. I wouldn't say there's one universal law. I'd say there are universal laws, i.e. the planets move around the sun. The sun, you need for nature to happen in order for us to exist. So there, you can't deny that there are laws that govern the way that things happen, right?
Yeah.
But then I think there are many different laws, and I think there are laws that... That's all I want to say about that.
I think the thing for me is that the universal law that I live by is that everything is impermanent.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Everything is impermanent. Mm. So it doesn't matter how you feel today, you're not going to feel the same, even in 1 minute. Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life, doesn't matter, you know, if it's negative, if it's positive, if it just is...
Evolution, everything's always evolving.
Yeah.
And everything is impermanent. You know, so it's almost like, for me, it's like to embrace the very moment, because the next moment's not promised to anyone.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. That's true.
Okay. Vision. Oh, gosh, yes, you've got to have a vision.
I think vision is really important, you know, to have a higher vision as well. You know, you don't have to believe in fairies at the bottom of a garden, but you know what? It makes the day go by.
Sorry, that was V for vision. I just went in vision.
Rago.
Vision is super important. Vision for yourself, vision, higher vision, and then vision for those around you, because we are creatures that like to... We are tribal. You know, we're talking about love and so forth.
We're pack.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's about your personal vision and the vision of the whole tribe to elevate it in the best way possible.
And so it's like, it's good to have a vision of where you're going and what you're doing, and also to try and be the best version of yourself you can possibly be, and to help other people when you're in a position to.
Exactly. Yeah,
sure. You've got to help yourself first. So my vision has got to be a higher vision, and I just want to connect the people from 51 different countries that have been visiting the site. I'm going to figure that one out. Okay, W is for work.
Well, you've got to work for your vision.
I also think that a lot of the time people think that, you know, this whole spirituality thing, you don't have to work for it. But I think no one can remove any hexes off you. No one can remove a spell. No one can remove your karma. You've got to work. Mm. You've got to work on your mind through meditation, work on your mind, body and spirit through yoga. And you've got to practice.
Definitely.
You really have to practice. So everything is a work. And I'm a real grafter. And that's where my intolerance comes in. I don't like people that... lazy, you know. It's like, come on guys, work for your stuff. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox now.
X
is an exchange.
You're cheating with that one, isn't it? I was thinking, what's X going to be? Because that's just like a hard word, like xylophone. X-ray.
So
look into yourself or something.
I think X is for exchange. A lot of the time I hear people saying, oh yeah, I'm too kind, or I give too much, or I do this. That's not actually possible. There's always an exchange in every single thing that you do, but everything has to be balanced. So it's like, you know, coming from a, you know, creative freelancing perspective, it took quite a while for me to earn my stripes and actually, you know, earn money through my creativity. Trust. But again, I was saying about this earlier on, you know, you know, you've got to pay for things and make sure that there's an exchange. It doesn't necessarily have to be in money, but the scales can't be imbalanced. Otherwise, everyone suffers.
It's true, man. The amount of spec jobs I did before I could start charging people, man, it's like, ooh, how long am I going to have to do this for?
It's exhausting, isn't it? But it's like my brother-in-law, he turned around and said, well, you know, everyone wants to be in the, well, they don't actually, you know. But anyway, the people that want to work in the creative industries and make a success out of it, we have to earn our stripes. Yeah. Anyway, there needs to be a proper exchange. It needs to be valuable. And again, you need to treat other people the way that you would want to be treated yourself.
Sure.
Okay.
Last one.
Why?
Oh, no, I forgot that. But so why, yeah. I just wanted to say that people that say they're yogis just because they practice yoga, they're not. A yogi is like, an enlightened person, actually, the proper definition.
Yeah.
So you practice yoga, but you're not really a yogi. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Now Zen. We're on the final.
For Zen.
Zen. Who wants to take this one?
Oh, no, I don't think I've ever been Zen.
Zen?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's like a state of peace, like a peaceful mind state. It's like, I mean, I don't know if I could say I've ever achieved it, you know? Like, there's been times when I felt very comfortable and I felt like, even when the whole world's been falling apart behind me, I've just been like, you know, I'm all right with this, man. You know, for now I am. But give it 10 minutes and I'll be bugging out again, you know?
Moon and Aries.
Exactly.
I think, Zen is actually a school of Buddhism that I believe that sort of came about under one of the sort of old school dynasties in China. And Zen, the Zen version of it, it's actually a Japanese version of Buddhism that believed more in the in meditation and the cultivation of the intuition in terms of reaching enlightenment rather than scriptures and academic spiritual study. So on that note, that's it.
Ooh.
First podcast.
Ooh. Hope you enjoyed it.
Thanks for having us, Miss Faulkner.
Yeah, thanks for having
it's
us.
It's
Ms. All right, there you go.
Wicked.
Okay, thank you so much. All right.